Good morning, you beautiful bastards. Today is December 2nd, and it's a Sunday, and I am speaking to you post-run, and that's got to get annoying for you guys. I apologize. My apologies to the fans, all of the fans and followers out there. Is that the word we use now, fans, followers? I'll just call you listeners because I don't know if you even like me. So we'll just call you listeners. For those of you who care, today is December 2nd. We are now countdown, 20 days away from not Christmas. Can you do math? Are you sure you can do math? We are 20 days away from my birthday. Now, this is the first time that I'm bringing this up, actually. Because you guys don't know my birthday. So December 22nd is my birthday. I won't tell you how old I am. However, if you can guess, then you win a glorious prize of knowing my actual age or the age I'm going to be. So before we go any further, let's get the particulars out of the way. Info@theimaginaryfiends.com. I-N-F-O at theimaginaryfiends.com. T-H-E-I-M-A-N-I-G. Oh, I fucked it up. The Imaginary Fiends. You know how to spell imaginary fiends. Fiends as in F-I-E-N-D-S. Fiends like dope fiends, crack fiends, sex fiends, marijuana fiends, you know, those are the words that I'm trying to use. So give all your feedback there. If you have any questions, concerns, suggestions, whatnot, info@theimaginaryfiends.com. Also, www.theimaginaryfiends.com is the website to catch up on everything that is Imaginary Fiends related. From clothing to music to pictures to videos to blog posts that I no longer post on since I have this podcast. Anyways, let's jump right into this fucking thing. So let's start off off the top with Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Holy shit. Already with the drama this morning, it is currently 9:23 a.m. and already with the drama, people are trying to make this a issue between the two fighters. If you have not watched the fight, please go back and watch it. If you have watched the fight, please go back and watch it. The fight was scored a draw. A fucking draw. And I don't agree with that decision. I don't agree with that decision. I think Tyson Fury won the fight. I think he was in control of the fight. I think he was dominating the fight. He did get knocked down at one point in the fight. He ducked down to avoid a right, and it caught him behind the ear. It looked like it caught him on the back, you know, that knob that you have in the back of your neck. It looked like it caught him there, and it probably threw off his equilibrium, and he hit the ground. But he got back up, no big problem. And then in the, I don't know if it was the 11th or the 12th round, he got caught again. In that same spot, because he was ducking to avoid the right, and I guess he didn't do it fast enough. I mean, with the amount of work that Tyson Fury was putting in last night, I mean, it stands to reason that he was tired going into those last, either the last round or last two rounds. I can't remember what exact round it was, but he did get caught in that same spot behind the ear, and then he was doing this thing where he duck in to avoid that right, and then he would roll back to the right to avoid Wilder's left shovel hook thing that he likes to do, this weird kind of hook that comes from nowhere. So a lot of people were saying that it was devastating, and they don't know how Tyson Fury got up from that punch. I think he was more irritated that he even got caught with that punch. I think he was kind of just taking a break. If you notice, if you watch the fight, he does hit the ground and he lays flat. and he's there and he has his eyes closed. He opens his eyes. When the ref gets to five, he tilts his head up and looks directly at the ref. And I think it was kind of a signal to the ref, like, I'm aware. At least that's what I got from it. He looked at the ref like, I'm awake, you know what I mean? And then the ref went to six. When he went to six, Tyson Fury started rolling over and starting to get up. Now, people are saying that the controversy is that the ref counted slow. Somebody mentioned that to me this morning when I looked on Instagram. Somebody had commented that ref counted slow. I went back and watched it twice. Did not look slow to me at all. Looked like a regular 10 count. It looked like a regular 10 count to me. And then I see that Wilder actually brought that up in the post-fight conference, that it was a slow count that saved Tyson Fury. That, to me, just lets me know that it's bullshit, because Deontay Wilder said it. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think it's bullshit. Deontay Wilder wasn't even paying attention to that count. By all intents and purposes, not all intents and purposes. I don't even know if that's the right phrase to use. But Deontay Wilder wasn't even paying attention after that knockdown. He thought that he won the fight. And so he was starting to walk off and celebrate with his people. When Tyson Fury got up, you could see that Wilder was just not ready to finish Tyson Fury. And Tyson Fury did exactly what he was supposed to do. He held on, and then he started to battle back, which shows more heart and character on Tyson Fury than I think I've ever seen on a bunch of boxers. I see, well, not a bunch of boxers, but, you know, of the recent heavyweights that I've seen. I was really, really impressed with that. But like I said, I don't think that Tyson got caught flush with that left hook. A lot of people are trying to put that in some kind of context, like it was so devastating. It wasn't as devastating, not to me. I think he just got caught and he was upset that he got caught, like, God damn it. And he just laid there for a second because he knew he had a count. So he was taking as much time on the canvas as possible to catch a break and then get up. He did the same thing with that first count. He didn't get up until nine. So for those of you who are trying to shit on Tyson Fury, it's a reach. It's a reach. That count wasn't slow. Jack Reese did exactly what he's supposed to do. And then Showtime on top of that is saying that one of the fuckers from Showtime kept saying that he hit his head on the canvas. Tyson Fury did not hit his head on the canvas. He hit his ass on the canvas, which caused his head to flail back. But if you look at the angle that they showed at the very end of that fight, when they were showing that that knockdown, his head did not even touch the canvas. It did flail back out of exhaustion, but he did not hit the canvas. He did not hit his head on the canvas. It is not that devastating. They are trying to bullshit this fight, man, and I don't agree with it. It was announced a draw. So if anything, I think that Tyson Fury got robbed, and I think that Deontay Wilder got lucky. Now, if they do a rematch, honestly, if they do a rematch, I have Tyson Fury winning for sure. I have Tyson Fury winning that fight for sure. I think what happened with Tyson Fury is that he waited a little bit long to pull the trigger. And when by the time that he actually did, he was a little bit tired. His corner had told him, you know, I know there's opportunities, but don't take them yet. You know what I mean? And he was telling him not to be greedy. And I understood that. But it seemed to me like earlier in the fight that Wilder could have been taken out, and that the longer that the fight went on, Tyson got fury. I mean, Tyson Fury got more tired, is what I'm saying. I think that it wasn't Wilder's superb boxing technique, okay? It was Tyson just being exhausted from really doing majority of the work in that fight. He was in control. He did land the fights. He shut Wilder's shit down. I mean, so many punches were missed by Deontay Wilder, and Wilder was just missing completely. I think that that first punch that caught him behind the ear was lucky. I think that that second punch that caught him behind the ear was lucky, as well as that left punch that came through. Tyson Fury, man, should have won that fight. It should not have been a draw. Even if you gave Deontay Wilder those two rounds where he knocked Tyson Fury down, and I think maybe two other rounds, that's still what, 8-4? You still got to give it to Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury was winning the fight, and I don't, I, it's corrupt. It's so fucking corrupt. But it's on American soil. It's done by Showtime. It's an Al Haymon fighter. What do you fucking expect? And I hate to fucking say that. I really fucking hate to say that because I'm trying not to be biased when it comes to these fights. I tried not to be biased when I was talking to people on Instagram about the fight, breaking it down. I was trying not to be biased and just, give my specifics on the fact and how, I felt that Fury was really, was really primed to win this fight, and I didn't think that Wilder had very much to offer in terms of boxing. I was really excited prior to the fight. My original prediction was that Tyson Fury was going to win by TKO. And to be honest, I don't know. I think honestly that Tyson Fury might have waited too long to get that TKO. Because there were some times where Tyson Fury was hitting Deontay Wilder, and Deontay Wilder just looked like exhausted and didn't know what to do. But Tyson Fury is not really much of a knockout artist, so you can't really give him all of that credit as well. But he did put on a boxing clinic. He did show exactly how it's supposed to be done. He got caught, but it's nothing new. We all know that Deontay Wilder has that hard right. And I didn't expect for Tyson, I mean, I didn't expect for Tyson Fury to avoid all of the right hands, but I didn't expect Wilder to land any of them flush and knock Tyson Fury out. Tyson Fury was too smart for that. But yeah, I think he got lucky with that first punch where he caught him. And I think he got lucky with those last two punches he caught him. But yeah, that now the controversy is that the count was slow, that they were trying to give Tyson Fury more time. So I wouldn't be surprised if some race shit starts coming out from Deontay Wilder. This shit is fucking irritating. I can't stand this fucking bullshit. I really can't. There were so many people that were rooting for Tyson Fury in that arena. And if you ask me honestly, Tyson Fury got more fans in the US than Deontay Wilder got. I don't know. I think people, I think a lot of people are upset about this decision, and it'll be interesting to see in the coming weeks how people are reacting to it. But this is just my initial reaction to the fight. I figured I'd tell you in the morning. So I went for a run, and now I'm about to do a little small workout here at the house. But I wanted to record this and kind of give you some insight as to how I felt watching the fight. I did like Tyson Fury's it was just, it honestly, it was a clinic. It was a clinic until he got caught the first time behind the ear. And some could even argue that was possibly back of the head, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's behind the ear. And the second one landed in the same spot, give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's behind the ear. And then that left that came through that kind of sat Fury down on his ass. I think he was just taking advantage of the fact that he fell on the ground. Honestly, I think he's just taking advantage, and he just take your time. You know, a smart boxer will tell you, you know, take your time, get your rest, and then get up as fast as you can. So I think that's what I mean, a smart boxing trainer will tell you, if you get knocked down, you know, take your time getting back up, you know, make sure your marbles are all together, and then get up before the count of 10. You know what I mean? So Fury all the way. He should have won, and he's gracious. He's gracious post fight. He thought he won, and I'm a bigger fan of Fury because of it. I wasn't a fan of Deontay Wilder at all, and Fury is good. I really never really paid much attention to Tyson Fury. I knew that he beat Klitschko, and I knew that he took some time off. But prior to that, I had never really paid much attention to Tyson Fury. And I will say now that I am a even bigger fan of Tyson Fury, and this draw doesn't give him a loss, so that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And you know, let's see if they do a rematch. I think they should do it overseas and give this man a fair fight. But yeah. Anyways, what do you think? Yeah, you're not gonna tell me anyway. You don't fucking respond to my. I would get my work out of you. Hey guys, just to touch back on it, I didn't want to necessarily spend so much time talking about the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, however, it did bring up a topic to me that I think is fairly important. And I may have mentioned this before, but it's something that I find increasingly disturbing throughout a lot of what is prevalent with people in general. I won't say this with individuals, because certain individuals know what to do and what not to do, and some people are just inclined to resolve to a certain type of thinking. So in regards to boxing, you'll usually get a narrative, right? And this is true in all of boxing and, well, sports in general. It's divided. You're on teams. And if you really think about that, that's kind of a running theme in everything, right? Is that you're supposed to have teams in which you side with. So whether it be politics, religion, sports, you know, there's all kinds of things that people can be divided on any issue about, and they will argue with it emphatically. And it's usually they're decisive or decidedly a certain way on a particular issue. And I find that disturbing for the reason that some people don't have the wherewithal to actually question that narrative that they're being told, or that narrative that they're being led to believe. And I find that disturbing, because I don't see how you can just take your own resolution or your own analytical process that is built inside your brain, or your own common sense for that matter, or your own ethics and principles, and kind of weigh that against what you're talking about. It's kind of interesting, because people will say they don't 100% believe a certain way, but will still follow that narrative, so to speak. And like I said, that's disturbing to me, because it's robbing people of independent thought. You should never be decidedly one side or the other side on a particular subject, unless you know unless you know the truth, unless you know for certain about certain things. I feel like a lot of people take that process out. They're just avoiding that process because it's easier. I don't want to really address, I don't really want to address any particular thought process because I'm busy doing other things, or I'm busy thinking about other things that are far more important. And truthfully, a lot of the things that you're thinking are far more important are not really that important to begin with. So, you know, and for some of us, that is true. That is 100% true. If you're constantly wondering how you're going to pay your bills and, you know, you've got kids and you've got things going on, and it's just your life is just a constant, you know, a constant, I don't want to say a mess, because that has a negative connotation. But if your life is like a blur and you have a lot of things that are on your mind all the time, I can understand you not wanting or not particularly being able or having the time to sit down and do the research, as say some other people are, who have less things on their plate, and therefore can do more research and choose not to. I'm not addressing those type of people. I understand if you have a busy schedule. Even then, if you have a busy schedule, you have to understand that you have a busy schedule, and you can't really look at a situation and give an opinion going one way or the other if you don't know enough research about that particular subject. You know, some people will, you know, just blatantly follow stupid shit because of a narrative that they've been told. This is what bothers me, or this is what I find disturbing, is the idea that what the fuck is up with this dog? Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry about that. If you're hearing that dog bark in the background, it's fucking annoying me too. Anyways, so I don't particularly understand why people feel the necessity to follow a narrative. For me, I think it's because there's pressure. There's pressure around you, whether it be on social media or in your social circles with your friends, or even the people you work with. You don't necessarily want to go against the grain. You don't want to rock the boat, so to speak, and have your own personal opinion on things. I'm not talking about like, how do I put it? I'm not talking about things that are off limits, that shouldn't be addressed, like whether white people should say the N-word or not. No, you shouldn't. Do you have the right to free speech? Yes. Can you say the word? Yes. Can you protect yourself against the backlash for saying that word? Probably not. So, best practice, you probably shouldn't say the word. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's decency. Do you understand? There's decency, and then there's, you know, there's the cause and effect portion of doing certain things. What I'm talking about in particular is the narrative that, say, politics will give you about the state of the world and how things are. And, you know, the news has a way of kind of pushing things into your realm of say, you know, your social media or what you watch on television or what you listen to on the radio. You get these kind of, what's the word? You get this kind of push. So I'm at work. I believe it was Friday. I was at work, and my boss likes to listen to my supervisor likes to listen to he likes to listen to country music, right? So we have to listen to country music all day. Not a big fan of country music, although I don't find it as annoying as I thought I would. So on that count, it is kind of cool to have some country music, right? And I noticed that when the campaigns were coming up, the local campaigns for like governor and mayor and shit like that. I live in Texas. they were really kind of pushing this. I don't remember hearing any campaigns that were opposite of this particular narrative. And so the popular narrative on this country thing was about MS-13 coming in through Texas, and they're raping and killing people and drugs across the border and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what I was realizing. Is they're pushing this fear narrative into these people's ears, right? And it is a country music station. Now, I don't know a whole lot of people who listen to country music other than white folks. And I don't, not to say anything bad about white people in general, but I could see how this would induce fear in them if they have no knowledge on the subject to begin with. Do you understand? And I think it's kind of odd, because I've always found that white people are a little bit more accepting of Hispanics than they are of blacks. And so the idea that they're pushing this narrative that, you know, border patrol needs to be beefed up and blah, 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 blah. And I was talking to my brother about it, and I was telling my brother, you know, I understand the necessity for border control. I said, but I don't understand the necessity to push fear upon people. And I know that that's a tactic. That's a tactic that they use in the media to garner, you know, attention. But I don't think I've ever seen, you know, I don't think in my lifetime, because I've never really paid attention to elections and shit like that, but I don't think I've ever seen fear being pushed in a campaign, so to speak. And so, I don't know, it was just really odd to listen to. And I've noticed that with politics. Politics will do that. Sports will do that. And I've noticed that popular media, what it does, and even now with, because I pay attention to a lot of boxing, a lot of boxing information. And sometimes you can get better information from the smaller media channels than you can from the larger media channels, because the larger media channels don't have the time, or how do I put it? They're being swayed to push a particular narrative, if that makes sense. So what I'm saying is that media has the tendency to push these narratives upon people, and people tend to go with it and believe it without actually doing the research and looking into something and saying, okay, this is right. Okay, no, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Or to take it and run it through the funnel of common sense. You know what I mean? And even not even run it through common sense, but also to kind of funnel it through your own belief system, funnel it through your own principles. And, you know, I don't understand what compels a person to just believe a narrative, so to speak. That doesn't qualify as research to me, to be honest. There's like a lack of open-mindedness for a lot of people, for a large chunk of people. I won't say this is everyone, because I don't believe everyone is like this, but I think there's a large chunk of people who watch popular media and let that be the story for them. Do you understand? And then consider that information as truth, as gospel. And it's not true. It's just not true. Or it's not always the case. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not the case. And for you to not be open-minded to the possibility that you might be being lied to is a strange concept for me, because, you know, we're discovering things new all the time. Like, not too long ago, we're being opened up to the truth about Christopher Columbus and how horrible people were when they came to this nation to begin with, when they came to the U.S. And, you know, you start to get the truth about these things. You start to get this idea that you've been being lied to on a regular basis. You know what I mean? And historically, you've been being lied to. You've been being fed this kind of you've been kind of spoon-fed this idea that, or this particular idea, notion about a certain topic, and you've been believing it because you've been supposing that what you've been believing is true. But let me ask you this. If they could fake things in the movies, what's to keep them from faking things in the newspaper? You know, what's to keep them from doctoring photos? What's to keep them from faking things all over the place? A real interesting movie that I saw was Wag the Dog. If you've ever seen Wag the Dog with Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, Kate? No, I can't remember her name. Anne Heche, and Woody Harrelson. So it's essentially about an incident that happens in the White House. And in order to cover it up, to get ready for the new election year, or the new election process, we have these people from the White House go and contact a movie producer to essentially stage a war to distract the American public from the fact that there was a scandal going on with that current president. Now, people will see this movie and say, oh, that's funny, it's a great movie. But if you're any type of person who has a secondary thought about anything that you're being told, then you could see how this movie would literally light your brain on fire and make you wonder, should you be believing anything that you ever hear? You know, I used to have this saying a while back that, you know, the textbooks lie to you, right? The news will lie to you. The newspaper will lie to you. Your president will lie to you. Everybody will lie to you. Everything that you, books will lie to you. The internet will fucking lie to you on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? So who do you believe? Believe in yourself. That's who you should believe in. Use your common sense. Use your common sense and think, who should you believe in? Who should you put your trust in at the end of the day? And the trust you should be putting yourself in, or the trust you should be putting in, it should be in yourself. You know what I mean? You should be looking at it from a practical human being standpoint. You know what I mean? You have to take the economics out of the situation. You have to take all the other factors out of it and look at it from a very simplistic human being situation. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, some people will get upset at black folks, or certain white people will get mad at black folks for being a certain kind of way. Well, have you ever delved into the history of what black people have gone through in this country? Have you ever delved into it and really looked at how fucked up things have been for that particular race in this country? Like, you really need to do the research and really look into it. You know, the same thing with Hispanics. People wonder why are Hispanics always coming? Why are people coming from South America into America? What the fuck is wrong with them? Well, if you look into the history, if you look into the history of it all, then it kind of opens up your brain and helps you to realize that things aren't really what you thought they fucking were. They're not even what your parents thought they were. They're not even what your great-great parents, your great-great grandparents thought they were. Do you understand? You have to do the research for yourself. You have to have the mind to look at things from a very open-minded mentality. Because if you don't, you're just going to spend all your fucking time, right? You're just going to spend all your time believing the wrong shit, making the wrong decisions, making the world more fucked up because you're continuing to push a narrative that they want you to believe. You're believing what they're telling you. You're being a robot. You're being the sheep. And I know that that's the popular theme to have, but you really have to kind of sit down. You have to sit back and break it down. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard because there's a philosophical way of looking at things, and then there's a plain way of looking at things. And sometimes the plain way can make you look at things in a certain way that has a certain feel to it, right? But you have to blend that in with the philosophical or the theoretical, so to speak, or the intellectual. And you have to give and take both and understand both sides or all of those aspects into it. You know what I mean? And comprise what is really happening here. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm already hearing shit now with this boxing match, and people were saying things that just don't sound that don't sound right. You know what I mean? You're already being fed a narrative post fight, and you're already picking up on that narrative and believing it. Did you not watch the same fight? Like, I know we're gonna have a difference of opinion. You know what I'm saying? But then there's this added shit that gets thrown in at the end, and now you seem out of place. Do you understand? If you can make a case for what you're saying, then okay, I might be open-minded to actually listening to it and believing it. But if you can't make a case for it, and you're just kind of spouting off what you heard somebody else say, then you sound stupid. You know what I mean? You sound like a parrot. I call that parrot talk. That's what people have become now, a bunch of fucking parrots. You parrot off what somebody else says. You're excited to be able to mimic something else. And so you say it, and you say it all the time. Do you understand? But you don't know what that fucking means. You don't understand the reality behind the situation. You're just parroting. Do you understand? That's what people are now, a bunch of fucking parrots. So I don't mean to get so serious about this. It's just it's something that I noticed, and I find it disturbing. So, for average Joe Blows, and I'm sure people that are listening to this particular podcast will know that it's not always as simple as it always is. It never is. Even on the stuff you do believe, even if you are open-minded, there are aspects that can change your perspective, that can change your mind about a certain thing. Listening to different viewpoints helps you strengthen yours. Do you understand? And it's not always one team or the other. It's not always one side of the argument or the other. Sometimes you got to know both sides of the argument to give your own perspective correctly. And it's hard. It's hard to tiptoe. Or not tiptoe, but it's hard to walk that line and know what to pull from what side and when. Do you understand? It's really hard. And takes a bit of effort. Takes a bit of understanding. It takes a bit of gumption to actually do that. And not be afraid to do that. You know? And you can do it. You just have to stop being so closed-minded when you hear one side or the other. You know? Here's what you have to understand about the narratives that you get told in your life. And I've probably talked about this already. And if I have, I apologize. If you're a new listener, this is the first time you're going to hear it. But if you're an old listener, I'm sorry. I'm doing it again. I apologize. But here's what you have to understand about narratives, okay? Narratives get pushed because there's a purpose behind it. Do you understand? There's a purpose behind it. The popular narrative is always being pushed to benefit somebody. So in this case, if we use Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder as an example, you have this controversy, right? Now, for the general public seems to believe, based on numerous polls that I've seen already, the general consensus seems to be that Tyson Fury won the fight. However, people were saying because Deontay Wilder knocked Tyson Fury down twice, that he won the fight. That's not how it works. If you understand boxing, and you understand the way that boxing works, just because you go down on the canvas does not constitute you losing a fight. Now, if he went down on the canvas and he never got back up, that's a knockout. But he wasn't knocked out. He got up. You know what I'm saying? And so now you got this kind of controversy that's brewing, and people are saying, oh, this and that, this and that. And there's this controversy that's starting to brew, right? And now the controversy, or there's a small group of people that are talking about an extended count that was given to Tyson Fury that allowed him more recovery. And then a kind of the referee asked him to walk to the left and then walk to the right and had to gauge. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That's kind of like a regular practice with referees. Referees will let you move to one side or move to the other side and they watch you because they want to gauge whether or not you can continue. That's standard fucking practice with boxing referees, right? But they're saying that he was allowed more time to recover. And so now there's this controversy that's being brewed. Now, if you're believing this particular narrative about the referee had a part in helping Tyson out, then I'm going to have to say you're full of shit, right? Because it's standard practice. You can go back and you can watch any number of fights. This is something that they do. Usually the referees do it when they believe that a fighter has been hit really hard or went down pretty awkwardly. Usually if they go down and they get up pretty fast and they don't seem to have any issue, the ref will let them continue without doing the side-to-side motion. But if you take a knockout and it looks pretty crucial to the referee, the referee will put you through that short battery of tests. He's looking in your eyes and he wants to make sure that you can continue. Why? Because what's the most important thing in a boxing match? The fighter's fucking safety. The referee is there to make sure that that fighter doesn't go into a coma. As is the case with Adonis Stevenson, who fought earlier that night, he got his ass kicked, and he's in critical condition at the hospital. So, you know, for those of you who are kind of believing the narrative that the referee helped Tyson Fury recover, it's fucking stupid. And what's the point of pushing that narrative? And then I find out that the person who spawned that talk, the person who was spawning that fucking thing, was Deontay Wilder. He said it in the post-fight press conference. Now, here's my thing. If you go back and watch the video, Deontay Wilder wasn't even looking at Tyson Fury. He was off celebrating. He was off celebrating in the corner. He was dancing, he was showboating because he finally got that knockdown, and Tyson Fury was in the process of getting right back up. He didn't even see it. He didn't even see the count. He didn't even hear the fucking count. He was off in La La Land trying to celebrate. And when Tyson Fury got back up, boy looked mad hurt. Your boy looked mad hurt. Like, oh, fuck, I didn't win? No, you did not, motherfucker. And then when the fight ended, he didn't look happy. He didn't look confident like he won that fight. He looked like a man who just lost. But why are they pushing the narrative? Why are they pushing that narrative about the referee? To spark the controversy. Why? To get people talking about the fight. Why? For the rematch. That's why. For the rematch. Now, this is what I'm saying in regards to all things. When a narrative starts getting pushed, there's a reason for it. There's always a reason for it. There's somebody who's going to benefit from a particular narrative that's being pushed. If you're being pushed into a narrative about certain people being a threat to the American way of life, then essentially what you're getting is a narrative to boost up law enforcement presence, military presence, maybe, immigration presence, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? There's always, when the narrative starts to arise, there's a purpose for that narrative. You understand? Somebody's going to be getting money off of this. Somebody's going to be getting paid off of this. And it's not you. It's not you, Mr. Whoever's pushing the fucking narrative. You who is believing this shit and spouting it off like a fucking parrot that you are, you're not getting paid for it. You are merely a puppet. Or a parrot, rather. That's all you're doing. You're a parrot. You're pushing the shit. And you're not even benefiting from it. It's fucking stupid. It's showing how stupid you really are. It's showing how stupid you really are. It's the same thing with this whole thing with guns. But that's a whole other subject. That's a whole other subject when it comes to having guns and having things. People are just so afraid that at every turn, somebody has a gun and is willing to kill them. Ready to kill them. You know? What was the story about the guy who was, there was a gunman who opened fire at a place, and then the armed man, I think it was an armed black man, shot or disarmed the gunman or whatever, and then the police came in and shot that guy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to sit back and pull yourself out of the popular media. You have to kind of reserve and just watch back and be observant and pay attention sometimes quietly, silently, and develop your own idea and formulate your own opinion by checking multiple sources, by getting both sides of the story, and not just believing immediately what you see or what you hear or what somebody told you. Do you understand? I don't know. I do know. That's how you fucking do it. I say I don't know because I fucking, that's like my way of apologizing for what I'm saying, but I'm not really apologizing. You know? I know a lot of stupid motherfuckers who are on some bullshit because they just believe it. And you're under this whole way of thinking because you're believing a narrative that they want you to believe. They control you like sheep. You know? Anyway. I think that's it. I just wanted to get that off my chest. I don't feel particularly I don't feel particularly that, getting back to what I was talking about earlier, I don't particularly feel that Tyson Fury lost that fight. Deontay Wilder, you know, he did knock Tyson Fury down twice. I think he got lucky on both accounts, honestly. But I don't think that he won that fight. Now, in regards to a rematch, now if we're going to talk a rematch, I would still go with Tyson Fury. I don't think that Deontay Wilder could improve in a short amount. I don't think that Deontay Wilder could improve quick enough to catch up with Tyson Fury's experience and ability, to be honest with you. I don't think he could. And if the rematch comes, I got Tyson Fury again, and for sure by TKO again, only because I think Tyson Fury is a very smart man, and he never switched to southpaw in that fight. He did for a brief amount of time. He stayed orthodox most of the fight and was having so much success. And I thought he would switch to southpaw and make it more difficult for Deontay Wilder. And he didn't. So that kind of makes me wonder what southpaw against Deontay Wilder would do. So in a rematch, still go for Tyson Fury to win. And I hope he does get the rematch, and I hope he does beat Deontay Wilder so we can quit talking about this motherfucker. Look, the weird thing about Deontay Wilder, and I was telling my brother this, is that, you know, you hear his background story, and, you know, you kind of feel a bit of sympathy for the man. But for him to be as arrogant and brash as he is, you need to calm down. You need to relax, because the resume speaks for itself. Honestly, the resume speaks for itself. So that's my opinion on it. I'm sure there's like a host of people that would argue with me about this, and I don't particularly care to argue with you about it, because all you have to do is go back and look at the resume. So Tyson Fury in a rematch for sure by TKO. Anyways, I'm going to stop talking, and I appreciate you listening. I know it's a late one today. It's been a kind of a lazy day. Just felt like fucking getting some rest. Anyways, have a good rest of your day, and thanks for listening. Peace.